All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
First day at school, I was trying to play it cool. Chilling with my friends, trying to pretend that I didn't notice you. Three rows down, second to left, with your big brown eyes and your brand new dress. Right then I saw my dream come true, yeah. Cause my knees got weak, knocked off my feet. I tried but I couldn't find the words to speak. Can't let go, my heart says whoa. Girl, I gotta let you know.
What?
Nothing. I'm just thinking about her.
You're smitten, sir.
It's not really smitten.
It's so kind of smitten.
It's not smitten. It's fine.
This is the part that gets edited out, right?
She's just a... No. No, I was told not to edit any of this stuff out anymore.
The show is not edited.
So, yeah.
Never say that again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
It's live.
No one can tell. No, I was told by somebody up there that I shouldn't be editing my feelings about Shauna Perry out of the show anymore.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right. You are in love with a girl named Shauna?
I don't want to say. I want to say that I'm very... I have a girlfriend.
You do have a girlfriend. She's a lovely young lady.
Her name is Lizzie, and she is who I'm in love with.
Okay.
Can I have a man crush on another woman?
No.
That would be another man.
No.
So I could have.
Not unless you had an Adam's apple.
I could have a sick crush on another girl.
You could.
Liz said it's okay if I crush on other people.
All right, good.
Okay, then I really have a crush on Shauna Perry.
Okay.
I'm admitting it now.
Well, that's good. It's the first step.
She's so wonderful.
Aw.
When I went up there, well, maybe we should save that for later.
I was going to say, maybe we should do the show first.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Is it? Because I thought this was Big Kev's Love Shauna, but that's okay.
No.
Episode one?
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 88.
Ah, right.
I have a crush on Shauna Perry.
Okay.
Who is Shauna Perry? That's what they're asking right now. You'll find out who Shauna Perry is, segment 3.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Just saying.
All right.
So, what you got?
Oh, I'm starting tonight?
Oh, for a change? Yeah.
Why don't we talk...
I figure you should do something time around.
Right. Why don't we talk a little bit about Steve Jobs over at Apple.
Okay.
And making movies available for rent now. Not just purchase anymore.
Oh, I get to rent something? You mean own it for a limited time and use it in a way that they dictate and not that I really want to?
That is correct.
Screw that guy and his turtleneck.
Word.
God, when did Fantastic become me?
Now, I'm guessing you knew about this, read about this, heard about this, Fantastic?
There was speculation beforehand, and I did watch the keynote on replay.
Okay, so it's like this big bit to do, right? Or they're making it seem like it's this big bit to do that. Now, instead of just buying movies through Apple, you can rent them. But the question is, Apple charges a fairly moderate to reasonable price to buy a movie. And I don't really call that buying that a movie. I call it buying a file of a movie. Buying a movie to me is going to the store and purchasing a DVD.
Okay.
So what is the price for rental? Because I can rent a movie for like $3 at Blockbuster.
Yeah, the price for rental.
So if it's more than a buck or a buck 50 to rent a movie online, to me, I fuck.
Well, it's not a buck to rent the movie at Blockbuster, is it?
No, it's $3, but I get a disc, and I don't have to wait for it to download or buffer.
Well, there's a
couple. I can watch it on my TV.
There's a couple things at play here, then.
Okay.
Number one is that you can rent most of these movies in their HD resolution.
Okay.
It takes about, and they say, this is the advertised time here, it takes about 30 seconds to start the movie on a good connection. So I'm thinking it's going to take more like a minute on most people's, if not more. But 30 seconds would be feasible if that's what they can get
sure.
it to. I believe the price is $3.99. I'm not an expert at this. I wasn't aware you were going to talk about this.
I'm sorry.
That's cool.
Well,
I
know, like if you attended the show prep meetings, fantastic.
You're expanding your horizons.
I'm trying.
Will you just shut up over there?
Oh, he's a little lippy today, isn't he?
For me, though, I think the best part about it is Apple has chosen to throw their hat into the arena and make what is this thing called? The Apple TV now?
Yeah.
Yeah, one time called the iTV. The Apple TV, a better product. And it looks to be a better product than everything else out there in terms of user interface and usability. So at least they push the envelope there.
As with most Mac products at this point. I mean, I can't think of a Mac product that's not user-friendly or that doesn't have a very easy-to-use friendly interface.
So if you had an Apple TV at $229, which is the price point for it now,
right?
Would you rent movies using this?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
Now, they say that they have most of the movie houses. What do they call these things?
Studios.
Yeah. Now, their movie houses are on board. No, the movie studios on board, and they'll
sure.
be providing movies. I would think
this is going to actually put the movie houses closer to being out of business.
But see, if I canceled my cable, I would really utilize this. I barely watch cable now, and I pay upwards of $150
right.
bucks or whatever it is for it. But if I had just the Verizon Fios and I used the Apple TV to buy those movies, I'd be cool with that.
I guess when it comes to movie purchasing for me, I'm still a fan of the tangible. So I'm still a fan
yeah.
of the disc and the case and display and the collectability of it.
Well,
I see being able to rent a movie like this more as a portable luxury.
On the run.
And like I'm away on vacation and I'm stuck in some hotel at some shit convention talking about, crummy workers' comp claims or something like that. And I have no real good access to anything on TV, but I can rent a couple of things for maybe $2 or $3. I don't mind paying that price.
I gotta cut you off there.
It's like
because
a portable thing.
Most hotels will provide you with a rental service on their TVs that's probably comparable in price, and they have porn.
Okay, well, that's your thing.
I'm not saying only porn, but I'm just saying
that the options are greater through this than they would be through just what the hotel has.
I don't know. I half agree with you. On the tangibility part, I agree with you, obviously, as we look into Studio V.
Right.
But the point is, I think here, is that it's another way that Apple is trying to meet the demands of the consumer for whatever reason.
Sure.
And they're making it a friendly and an easy interface, and they're making it the price point is very acceptable, seemingly very acceptable, depending on the quality of the service. And I think it's just another step in Apple's, I think, rapid rise up the ladder.
I do have a question. Maybe you have an answer, fantastic, because I didn't actually see this online. If you rent a movie using this technology,
mm-hmm.
do you have it for a certain amount of time before you no longer have it? Do you have it for a single play? How does that work?
What I read in kind of one of those little snippets or captions, bullet points, was I think you have 30 days to start it from the time that you rent it.
Okay.
And then after you start it, you have 24 hours to watch it. I guess watch the hell out of it, watch it as many times as you want. And if that's the case, if that's the truth, I'm not really a fan of that.
No, I'm not a fan of that at all, actually.
What if I watched it one day and then I decided, well, my brother came over the house the next day, let's watch it again.
Right.
I don't plan on paying again.
See, and this is why I brought up that whole idea of the price. For $3.99, I could, again, going back to Blockbuster, but for $3.99, let's say, I can rent something at Blockbuster, and I can have it for, nowadays, pretty much as long as you want it.
Right. Yeah, I see where you're getting
at. So,
but I am not a fan of the tangible, which
okay.
is why I gave Marvel.com's comics
All right.
a second chance the other night. I took a look at the online comics that we talked about on the last XM show.
Right.
And I got to say, although I'm a little bit picky about the offerings that they have on there, and the free comics on there aren't really the ones that are going to get me into the comics, into the library of comics, the reader is a lot better than it used to be. And it's a lot better than some of the applications that you can get for reading comics on your computer locally. The best feature, as I see it, there's a couple different modes. One of them is like a zoomed out mode completely where you see both pages.
Right.
You can choose to view one page or the other. The best mode, though, I believe they call it panel mode or smart panel.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of it knows where like a scene will take place in a couple panels, and it like logically groups those panels. So you can read one or two panels that fit on the screen, and then you hit the next button and it very smoothly swoops down to the next area and shows you that area, and it's like perfectly zoomed for you to kind of read two or three panels that logically correlate, and it makes it a lot easier to read.
It's kind of like whenever you see comic books presented in film that you're supposed to be following it along, it kind of has that motion where it zooms to the next logical panel.
I haven't seen a lot of other readers that do anything like that or anything that approach that. I did notice that they, when you look on the screen, they have separated the speech bubbles from the graphics, from the art.
Okay.
So when you do this, the speech bubbles kind of go away, it moves to the next panel, and then the speech bubbles pop back up, which is pretty cool because it shows that rather than just sit down and stick some intern at a sheet-fed scanner and scan them all like we saw with that promo X-Men disc, that Ultimate X-Men disc that came with the Best Buy exclusive, they've actually put some effort into putting this together. I need to look further into the library of comics that's out there for me to read because what I saw at a glance really wasn't doing it for me. But I'd give it a chance for $10 a month
or
whatever the
price
is.
I think Marvel is really pumping a lot of money into this technology because when it breaks, and invariably it will, they want to be absolutely the forefront in this market.
Oh, sure.
Because I haven't heard a thing about online comics for DC. Well, I haven't heard a thing. I'm not saying there isn't one. Well, Zuda, but that's comics that are directly created
for online.
For online. This would be about, you know, what a regular Spider-Man issue.
Right.
You know, and I think that Marvel really just wants to be at the absolute forefront of that.
What's a going price for Netflix or Blockbuster?
I think I pay $14 a month for Blockbuster.
I'd pay that for comics, a little bit less maybe.
Yeah.
But I'd have to read all the new comics. I'd have to have access to those.
Yeah.
And I'd pay for that.
The library would have to maintain and be available at all times. In other words, an issue can't stay up there for 3 months and then go away. That issue has to maintain availability.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the only way that something like that would work, which means in the end, you're talking about a massive, massive library of books because in addition to doing the new stuff, Marvel would have to, I would think, would have to go back and do the same thing with their catalog of back issues.
Well, that's what we had talked about that on that show, that's what they were planning on doing, making hard to find or hard to read issues of old books like Spider-Man and Uncanny X-Men and et cetera, available through this online service. So for a lot of people, it would be the first time that you actually ever get to see the panels and pages of Amazing Fantasy 15.
Unless you've picked up one of the 30,000 or 40,000 reprints of it.
Right, but
If anybody's out there with one of those Dell monitors that you can turn on the side so you can view it in portrait mode.
Nice.
You can view individual pages, almost the whole page on that, and it's nice and large. It's pretty appealing. It's good.
I like the thing you were, the reader, the zoom, the panel thing. That's very attractive to me because I don't have to decide where to go. You know what I mean? It's already, not that it's like a difficult decision or anything, but I mean, it's nice to have it kind of just presented there for you that way.
Yeah, this one's done so well, and it zooms it perfectly, and the letters are nice and sharp. It's done so well that if you wanted to, you could watch it on a really big monitor or you could read on your TV from maybe like 6 to 10 feet away. And, you know, if you didn't have too many distractions, it would be a pretty good experience because of this smart zoom, smart panel view.
So they've justified the cost of it?
So far, I think so.
Okay, good. Moving
I want you to write the date down. We said something nice about Marvel.
Okay. Moving on. Sticking with books, but books and movies. We'll talk a little bit about Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. The big chatter this week is that they are going to split the movie up.
Really?
They're going to split the last book into two separate films.
Now, I haven't heard this.
Well, this—it's new.
It's a rumor.
It's the newest thing out there. I don't think anything is confirmed until.
How
are
they splitting that book up, but not like the Half-Blood Prince? Wasn't that like the thickest one?
No, actually, Order of the Phoenix is the thickest one.
Oh, okay.
But I think it makes sense in a lot of ways. I think that that's probably the book where you really don't want to make any sacrifices. It is very action-packed. A lot does happen. So they want to be able to cover it. So I think that's a good reason to say we're going to split this up. But honestly, I think it's a moneymaker.
Sure.
Yeah, of course, because you've taken a franchise that is essentially going to die in 2 years and extended it at least a little bit longer.
Is there anywhere that they're going to film them simultaneously?
My guess would be that they would film them simultaneously because we all know how a movie is shot. You shoot it out of order and whatnot. And so I'm sure there are going to be bits and scenes and stuff that similar sets that are going to be reused in different parts of the movie. It would make sense to me to film it simultaneously so that you get the most coherent, stable kind of story and then edit it and cut it where you think the most natural break is.
I think, first of all, maybe we should play this.
Attention, the following information is considered spoiler material.
Right, the spoiler alert, because we don't want to spoil the story for anyone. But I think it would be wise of them to shoot it simultaneously and then for them to go back closer to the release of the second film and film the epilogue.
Maybe.
Is it epilogue, the one that's after? Is that epilogue?
Yes, that's epilogue.
Prologue is the first?
Yes.
Pro first.
Epi.
Epi after.
Right.
The epilogue, of course, for those of you that are still tuned in, for the three people who don't know, is that they have a scene at the end of the book that basically, you know, people are grown up and some people are married and there's some children and some things. And I think the further away that they can get, the more growth that they can allow these kids playing these parts, the easier perhaps it will be to age them.
Okay.
Because wouldn't that be the right thing to do rather than recast them as adults?
Oh, no, they wouldn't recast them. They'd have to age them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you want to at least for what's her name?
Ginny?
Ginny Weasley. I mean, that girl's like 10. So
I don't know.
Have you seen these kids recently? Because if you see them in the magazines and walking around on the street like I do, they're looking old these days.
Look, I didn't say Hermione, who's looking hot. I said Ginny, who's looking young.
Right, but I bet you if you see her now, she's going to look older than think.
That might be.
They age fast at that
age. I'm just saying it might be a good idea to do it that way. Anyway, what else you got?
Liev Schreiber.
Yes.
We've heard rumors that he was tied to the Wolverine project.
Friend of the show, Liev Schreiber.
Oh, really?
No, but...
I didn't know that one. I thought maybe that was someone else that you had talked to in San Diego while I was, like, you know, not around or hiding in a corner somewhere or something.
I think he was at San Diego.
He might have been. The rumors were he was going to play young Stryker in the Wolverine film. Stryker originally played by Brian Cox in X-Men 2.
Right.
Okay. But apparently... that's not the case.
Okay.
He's playing Creed. Sabretooth.
What?
Uh-huh.
How is he playing Sabretooth?
I don't know. I guess he's a...
Wait, is he playing a young Victor Creed?
I guess a young Victor Creed in the X-Men Origins. Well, we know it's an X-Men... It's a Wolverine Origins movie.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's what they're saying, that he's playing Creed.
That's bad.
So then it leaves the question, who's going to play Stryker? And that rumor floating around now is none other than Dexter himself, Michael Hall, I believe that gentleman's name is.
What?
That's the guy that they're thinking about to play young Stryker. The dude that plays Dexter on that show.
I know who it is. That doesn't make any sense.
Why not? He could play a young Stryker.
I don't think so.
You don't think he looks kind of like Brian Cox, well, younger without the beard?
Look, first of all, are we trying to say now that Brian Cox and Wolverine and Sabretooth are all virtually the same age?
Well, Well, we know that's not true of Wolverine.
Right.
At the very least.
Are they saying the same thing about Sabretooth now? That Sabretooth doesn't age normally either?
I don't know. They could be.
Red flags.
I'm just saying this is what they're talking about online. This is the rumor mill. Except for Schreiber, I think he's been confirmed.
This is like brand new day Spider-Man mathematics here. I'm not liking it.
All right.
Let me ask you guys something about Wolverine. I got away from reading
Marvel. Did you say Ben Vereen?
Yes. Ben Vereen.
Yes, I have a question about
Chicken
Ben
George.
Vereen.
Chicken George from Roots.
The only you can answer Zoobly this. Zoo. No, it's about Wolverine and how when I was a kid, his name was Logan. But it seems that now that I've gotten back into the books and just went to the Marvel website, his name is now James Howlett in most of the things that I read.
Yes.
What's going on here and when did that occur?
That's his actual name revealed in Wolverine Origins.
Yes. Right.
The miniseries that came out.
Origin. There is now an ongoing book called Wolverine Origins.
It was revealed that his name was James.
Yeah.
And he now knows everything.
Yeah. He's been everywhere.
Yeah. He knows. Yeah. He knows who he is. He's all his past. As far as my understanding is that he knows who he is, where he came from, all that blank space that used to make him a compelling character. Well, that's all filled in.
I love that. What was that Wolverine with the, I think it was like number 50. It was a file with the Wolverine 3 claws ripping it open. It was the one where Shiva was chasing him the whole time. That was a good one. That was the whole premise. He went through the old sets that they used to kind of, you know, dupe him into believing that he had memories in the Wild West and
all that crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there it is.
All that crazy stuff.
That's the update on the Wolverine movie.
Oy. Dr. Grodbort's Contraptulatronic Dingus Directory.
That sounds personal, sir.
Yes. This is number one catalog edition. Hardcover, written and illustrated by Greg Broadmoor, brought to us by Weta Designs. This is in a Weta original.
Ooh, we like Weta.
Now, what this is, it's coming from Dark Horse. It's kind of a fake little catalog of Victorian era, what would you call it? Like gadgets and gizmos, none of which really exist, of course. It's like Victorian science fiction. So if you're a fan of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen,
right.
Other Victorian, there's a book actually called The Victorian, things like that. And if you're a fan of that sort of thing, you're going to love this little catalog. The pages are very, very, it's like almost cardstock, the pages. Okay. So it's very nice. It stands up very nice. Several pages of catalog, and in the back it has a little Greetings from Venus storyline with the big hunter guy who is using a couple of these things. Lots of gray matter throughout the book. What I think this spins out from is the ray gun collection. Do you remember we talked about that after Toy Fair? They have made 1:1 scale prop replica types of these ray guns.
Again, designed by Weta, distributed by Dark Horse.
Right, designed by Weta. They had a $500 to $600 price point.
Right.
Each came in its own case. Victorian style science fiction with lots of gizmos and ends and transmitters and things. And
I can't see from here, but it sounds like you're describing steampunk to me. Is that the genre?
Okay,
this is what I thought
We were having this discussion before. My understanding of what steampunk is as a genre is that it's futuristic society that is again adopted steam type technology, turn of the century technology, where this is just more straight up Victorian, kind of the stuff nobody heard about in the Victorian era kind of stuff.
See, I thought it was steampunk too. Fantastic.
Either way, if it's steampunk, then it's steampunk. What do I know?
Yeah, it's cool either way. It looks good.
Yeah. I mean, either way,
they have
it's
all
a cool
kind of
product.
Little. They have an automaitre d's, kind of a little butler robot, and the illustrations are fantastic. Some of them are 3D, like what would you call it? Like computer generated design, but some of them are a bit sketchy and more artist interpretation type of things. It's a really fantastic book, which I think is going to lead maybe to some more of these replica type things. The guns were absolutely exquisite. They were just
way too
high priced.
Yeah.
For your average guy. I would have loved any one or all of them. If they had been more in the, I'd say, $150 to $200 range, I think I'd, by now I'd probably have them all.
Like I said, if it was $600 but it worked as a laser gun, I'd have purchased
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's Word. Right. That is what you said about that when they came out. I forgot.
Because you can get like really powerful lasers in that price point that, you know, burn holes into things from miles away.
Nice.
Victorious Mongoose 1902 concealable ray pistol. It's like a little ray gun derringer.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Maybe we can get one of them lasers, get one of them replicas, you know.
It's a great little hardcover from Dark Horse, $12.95 US. Go out and pick it up.
Guess who's turning 50 this year? And no, it's not Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
I don't know who.
The Smurfs, sir.
Really?
Yeah, it's their 50th birthday this year.
Wow.
All sorts of new product coming out.
How are they 50?
They've been around for 50 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What, the original, in Germany?
The original the original strip started 50 years ago. The cartoon series was in 1981.
Right.
But the...
So the Smiths... The Smiths.
The Smurfs.
The Smurfs were already fucking 30 when the cartoon started?
Yeah. 1958 is where they made their appearance in Johann and... Some middle-aged cartoon. They were like an addition to this cartoon by the by this artist, and they've been around for 50 years
in strip
now.
Form or like animated?
Strip form.
I didn't even know they had a strip.
And so the whole time, there's only been one woman.
That's it, Smurfette.
I didn't
know.
No,
actually, there was a young female Smurf also, I believe.
Like a kid, like
yeah,
a girl.
A kid.
Like a hillbilly Smurf, right? Wasn't she a hillbilly? Or am I thinking of the Fraggles?
No. I think you're thinking of the Fraggles.
I don't know. But the point is that I didn't know they originated in a strip. I thought they originated with that terrible cartoon in the
nope.
That my seventh to eighth grade girlfriend really enjoyed.
Hey, I kind of like the Smurfs too. I'm not lying. And
no kidding.
To honor this 50th birthday, we have a couple of things in the works that I thought maybe some people would care about. Like, how about an all new 3D animated feature film?
Did he say all nude?
All nude.
All new 3D animated feature film coming out later this year. How about the original, the release of the original series on DVD also later this year?
Uh-huh.
And also comic book collections collecting the original strips.
Well, that'd be interesting.
All during this year.
Hmm.
So there you go. The Smurfs.
Also coming to your Verizon cell phone is a $1.99 ringtone of the Smurfs theme song.
Nice.
Really?
Probably.
La, 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 la.
You're so gay that you both knew that.
It happens.
Can't believe the two of you.
What do you got over there? Is that a doll book?
Yeah, it is not a doll book. It is. We don't use the D word around
here.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
This is the DC Comics Action Figure Archive by Scott Beatty.
Ooh, the lolly.
This is the first official reference book of DC Comics action figures, which features more than 1,400 action figures, 600 full cover photographs, all the facts and everything else you need in an alphabetical order, talks about release dates, variants, redecos, articulation, trivia. It's just a fascinating look at DC action figures over the years. I got to tell you, there's some stuff in here that I totally forgot about. Like, for example, do you know they did Steel the Movie action figures?
I did know that.
I didn't remember that until I looked in this book. Another fascinating thing that I found in here, I, of course, went right to the Joker section. And check that out because, of course, I have a complete Joker collection. And I found out that I did not have a complete Joker collection.
Oh.
There's two different Mego Jokers.
Well, shame on you.
I know. I got to go check that out. But there are missing a few things. Like, I went to the Harley Quinn section,
okay,
which is under H. And I noticed that they did not list the Harley Quinn Barbie. So is it because, now it can't be because it's a doll, because they have the 12-inch Harley Quinn from the new Batman Adventures in here, the 12 inches tall, but they don't have the Barbie as we have here in the studio.
She's not an action figure.
But why is it because she's in a girl's line? I don't get that.
Maybe.
They have crypto figures in here.
Well, they're action figures.
I know, but they have like all the, all of them. It's kind of, I don't know. I found that a glaring omission on my part. Maybe I'm crazy. I mean, they even have, do you remember that company Dreams and Visions that Dreams did the, they did the Sergeant Rock.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Figures
okay.
like, and they did also, what's his name? The Unknown Soldier.
Okay.
Remember, you remember that? They were like.
Vaguely.
What were they? They were like 12-inch figures with cloth, like in G.I. Joe style.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they have those guys listed in here.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't understand why the Barbie isn't listed. The Barbie. There's more than one who's not just Harley. There's
why don't
like
you
Batgirl
write them a letter?
And, well, maybe I will.
Complain.
But it's also fun little facts. Like, for example, the Justice Lords, which was Justice League Unlimited kind of multiple Earth sort of superhero collection there.
Right.
It actually shows you a picture of what they all look like. It tells you where each of them came from. Some came in a 3-pack. Others were this and that. And you can get it's kind of a good reference guide to make sure that you're getting the whole collection.
Okay.
Fantastic book, I really thought. DC Comics Action Figure Archive runs about $40. You can check it out at chroniclebooks.com, chroniclebooks.com. And fascinating, really fascinating stuff. What's really fascinating is that there's been 8 billion Batman figures, and I think they are all listed in here.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's a lot
of photos,
pages.
Too. I'm serious, sir.
Let's talk a little bit about the Star Wars TV show.
All right, which one?
The live action.
Okay. Which, does it have a name yet?
No.
Okay.
But.
I heard Dark Times. But
according to Rick McCullum.
Oh, well, this would be good because he would know.
He would know. The series will be about brand new characters, a group of people we haven't seen yet, except for Boba Fett, who will play an instrumental part in it. The series will also showcase other bounty hunters.
Okay.
It takes place in the 20-year gap between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
Yep.
And it will not be as plot-driven as the movies. It will be more character-oriented and character-based.
Right. So
that all sounds good to me.
It's basically going to be Star Wars Bounty Hunters, the TV show.
I think it sounds good.
Well, everybody finds the bounty hunters cool.
I know.
So,
sure. They should be showcased a little bit.
I mean, in the last couple of years, you know, there's the bounty hunters and the troops. They have really capitalized on it.
Yeah.
There's like so many figures and so much art and so much thing out there.
Who are you telling? Are you telling the army builder in the room?
Well,
the guy going broke?
Tell people?
Trying to go broke, trying to keep up with all these troops and everything that got coming out?
Well, that's why you haven't been eating. But it's good that they're saying it's character-driven because the pace of the last three movies was like breakneck.
Yeah.
Every 2 seconds, it was one of those stupid 50s transition wipes, you know, circular wipe, left-to-right wipe,
right.
Window blinds, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it was like George Lucas did the whole thing in Adobe Premiere and just did random on the transition thing.
It's fascinating that it's come to that, and I think it's very interesting. Well, that is technically... Then I'm right, because that period is referred to as the Dark Times.
Yep.
It's the rise of the Empire, the fall of the Union, and... wait.
The Rebellion?
Yeah, Rebellion. No, it's not the fall of the Rebellion. It's the start of the Rebellion. And the rise of the Empire. And I think that will be very interesting. It certainly will generate a lot of fan interest. Now my question is... Star Wars Unleashed, Force Unleashed, takes place in the same time period.
Okay.
Are we going to see the designs used in Force Unleashed used in the TV show?
My guess would be it depends on who's in Unleashed versus who's in the TV show.
Not characters per se. I'm talking
I know,
about
but
design.
If it,
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
But if it
about.
Focuses on a different set of characters,
right.
The designs could theoretically be different.
What we have said... Well, they're going to show the Imperial Army.
Oh, sure, sure.
So what I'm saying is one of the things that we really liked about the design work for Force Unleashed was the
character. Yeah.
Well, the design, all right, for me, the design of the troopers, the clone troopers to storm
the
troopers.
The transition design.
Right. is very nice. Are they going to flesh out that design?
We don't know yet, but I would hope so.
I would hope
Of course, the big question is who's going to play Boba Fett, naturally. That's the other big question.
And who will care because it's a guy with a mask on, so anybody can
play. Right, well, they're saying Temuera Morrison would be...
he would be...
Would be a good choice.
Absolutely, perfect choice.
So
he's the guy who did it in the other one. Right?
He played Jango Fett.
Right.
But
and they're all clones.
But they're
of
all
him.
Clones.
No, you know what they should do is do one where he wears Bullock only the back. Helmet, and they have one actor do his voice, and then about 3 years from now, go in and redub all of the voices with Temuera's.
Well, that'll
voice.
Be the
that
special edition of the TV show.
Didn't they do that?
That's
they
the
didn't
joke,
redub all the stormtroopers with his voice in special edition.
I want to punch Lucas in the face. He better not fuck Spielberg up with Indiana
Jones.
Why
don't we stay with Star Wars for a little bit, though? Because I have one more thing.
Okay.
Soul Calibur 4.
Has what to do with Star Wars?
Yoda and Darth Vader are going to be playable characters in Soul Calibur 4.
How's that possible?
This is not the first time that Namco has included some kind of other character in their games as an exclusive. In the past, they've included... Link from The Legend of Zelda, Heihachi from Tekken for the PlayStation version, and Spawn for the Xbox version.
Yep, I remember Spawn.
Oh, I remember that. We talked about that on the show.
So I've actually seen some of those. Have you seen the shots online, Fantastic, at all yet?
Yeah,
Yoda looks great. Yoda looks like EP3 Yoda.
Right.
He's kind of like jumping through the air with his lightsaber back behind him. It looks pretty badass. I mean, you know, and Soul Calibur's is a pretty fun game. So having the option to play those characters is a nice little kind of throw out to the fans.
a little
something.
Yeah, Soul Calibur is one of the few games that you can get now that's really played as a fighting game in a diehard community of people who like scrutinize every little thing about it.
Right.
The only thing about including these exclusive characters is they're usually banned in tournaments because they upset the balance of the
natural game. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Let's round out Star Wars today by talking about a product. It's the Star Wars Mighty Mugs.
Aw.
This is Hasbro's answer to the vinyl toy movement.
Uh-huh.
They basically have one type of body and they're translating different characters onto that one type of body.
Okay.
I have, surprisingly enough, I have the Stormtrooper.
Well, there's a shock.
And let me tell you what's great about this, besides the fact that he's adorably cute.
Right.
There's a lot of things about the packaging that are very small and that you might miss that I want to point out so everybody can check it out. On the front, you see the Mighty Mugs logo.
Uh-huh.
At the bottom of the logo, in small print, it says, made from 100% recycled awesome.
Okay.
Right? Number two, on the back, it says, it doesn't say a lot. It shows the figure. His accessory is a blaster. There's art. It shows you others in the series include Darth Vader, Han Solo, Darth Maul, Boba Fett, Chewbacca. And again, in another little line, which I thought should be much bigger on the box, it says, welcome to the trendy side of the Force, each sold separately.
That's funny.
I think this is just a fantastic little piece. Star Wars piece. I don't know what the retail is on them. I'm expecting probably about $9-$10.
I'm gonna say more than that.
You think so?
Yeah, I bet that thing's about somewhere in the $15 to $20 range if I had to take a guess.
Ooh, okay. I'm pretty sure that these are made in Europe.
Oh, so they're safe,
right? So we can lick away. And that's it. Mighty Mugs. Check it out. I guess you can check it. Can you check it at Hasbro.com? I don't know. If you can check them at Hasbro.com, I'm not sure. I'm sure if you Google Mighty Mugs, I'm sure you'll see what we're talking about. All right. If you're checking out the show, of course, on iTunes, you can check out the picture on your little screen.
Sure can.
Or you can, if you're watching it on that other one, you can do it too, right? What's the one?
Media player? No.
No, the other one.
I don't know.
QuickTime?
Oh, well, yeah.
Watch
yeah.
on QuickTime. You can see the images
you
as
can.
Well. Or you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, Image Gallery, Episode 88. I have a crush on Shauna Perry, and you'll find him in there.
Why don't we get ready to take a break by talking about DVDs this week?
Okay.
This will be our lead-in to the break, because I need a glass of water.
This is The 10.
Okay.
It stars pretty much everyone on the planet.
Okay.
Such a humongous cast. Adam Brody, Femke Janssen, Gretchen Mol, Oliver Platt, Paul Rudd, Winona Ryder, Liev Schreiber, Jessica Alba. I mean, it's just chock full of people. It's kind of a comic send-up of the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Which is supposed to be very, very funny.
It looks funny.
Yeah. So we have
that. There's that.
Good Luck Chuck.
How does that fit into the show? Just because we want to talk about it? Because it's funny?
Because in Dane Cook's act, he references Mortal Kombat.
Oh, how's okay. That? Well, there you go. That's all I was looking for. A reference.
He's a geek, dude.
I know he's a geek.
Dane
Cook's
a gamer. He did a thing for this show. In fact, it's coming up in this commercial break.
Nice.
This is the special edition, over 35 minutes of footage, too outrageous for theaters.
Nice.
Chucked up, unrated edition. If you buy it at Best Buy, I think this is a Best Buy thing.
They are just sticking that unrated edition emblem everywhere now. Yeah. What a load of crap. What could possibly be in here? It's just Jessica Alba, right?
Yeah, it's Jessica Alba, buck naked.
Unless there's penetration,
no,
that thing does not deserve to be in the box.
Well, what does deserve to be in the box? I don't know if
fantastic. Apparently,
I don't know if this is a Best Buy exclusive or not. But inside this Power version apps. is a T-shirt. It says "Get Chucked" and it has a penguin on it.
Well, isn't that cute?
Yeah, it's nice. And what's good about that? Let me tell you something. Same price with or without the T-shirt.
Well, isn't that fancy?
You know,
I'm just saying.
You know, your sarcasm is starting to come through a little bit.
A little bit.
I'm just saying.
Tiny. Un poquito.
Be My Valentine.
Why did you buy that?
Be My Valentine, Shauna Perry.
Now, is Be My Valentine Charlie Brown? Is that one of the newer Charlie Browns, or is that a classic?
No.
Because I don't remember that one.
This is a classic one, sir.
Okay. If it's a classic, then you get the pass.
1975, sir.
Okay, I don't remember that one.
This is from 1975. This is the one about the Valentines. You don't remember that one?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of surprised. It does come
Snoopy
with...
Come Home, Your Good Boy Charlie Brown,
yeah.
Christmas, Great Pumpkin. I remember all those ones. Even the Thanksgiving one,
Thanksgiving
I remember.
Thanksgiving one? Valentine one was one
I don't remember Valentine.
It does come with It's Your First Kiss, Charlie Brown, You're in Love, Charlie Brown, and those might be newer.
Okay.
But I cannot at this time
confirm or deny.
Right.
All right.
So there it is.
What's next?
Charlie Brown. And of course, the big release this week for us would be Family Guy Presents Blue Harvest.
Fantastic.
Do you know why it's called Blue Harvest?
Because that was the original shooting name for New Hope.
Right. And was it New Hope?
It was New Hope, sir.
New Hope's name was Blue Harvest?
No, I thought it was Empire.
I thought it was, I thought it was one
pretty positive it was New Hope.
Fantastic.
Before it was Star Wars,
put some money on it, and I'll look it up.
All right. I bet you a buck it wasn't New Hope.
Okay, I bet you a buck it was New Hope.
Okay. Now, fantastic. We'll do the research while I tell you. This big, fat collector's edition comes with so many things. Blue Harvest fight scene in 3D.
Okay.
That's on there as well. It's got a whole bunch of stuff on the disc. Audio commentary, conversation with George Lucas, making of Blue Harvest, animatic version of Blue Harvest.
Right.
Family Guy Star Wars clip show, which I guess is other Star Wars references that they've made. And the box set includes Blue Harvest Collector's T-shirt in size XL, which will fit nobody that buys this. The Art of Blue Harvest 20-page collector's booklet, limited edition trading cards. The trading cards are cute. What they are is they're old school Star Wars cards, the blue border ones.
Right.
They've redone with pictures from this show. And 3D glasses, which I guess means you can watch the Blue Harvest fight scene in 3D.
Right.
That's what that is. All comes in a nice fold-out box. Family Guy. You can't really go wrong.
No.
You can't really go wrong with Family Guy. And this box set is just jam-packed full of extras here.
Now, I want to say...
Are you... What? You don't have an answer, or...
No, I was saying let's wrap this up and move on to the next segment.
Well, we will in just one second.
We're waiting on you. We got money on this now.
But I'd also like to say that there's a glaring omission from, I think, your DVD collections over there, sir.
What?
Didn't the Dragonlance animated DVD come out this
week? Yeah, it did. And you know what?
And how did you not buy that?
And Dragon Wars, I think, came out recently, too.
Yeah, Dragon Wars came out, but who cares about that? Dragonlance, sir.
No,
Dragonlance.
No, sir, because I am not a fan of Dragonlance, number one.
You were never, not even of the game?
Nope.
No?
No.
But the game.
But what about the game?
It was good.
It wasn't that good, sir.
You're terrible.
I didn't like
it. You call yourself a geek.
And I thought the animation looked kind of chintz.
Taking your card back.
Did you buy it?
I haven't been to the DVD store yet.
Did you buy it?
My wife bought me Blue Harvest. I didn't pick it up.
Did you buy it? You work in a goddamn video store.
I haven't been there today. And our store is closing. No new releases. Hello.
Okay. Well,
all right, let's take a break.
No, whoa.
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the answer.
All right.
I think we should come back with the
answer. Fine, whatever.
Tease them.
Fine.
Hello, dear listener, Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
I'll never be you. I'll never be you. I'll never be you. I'll never be you. No, I'll never be you.
Hey, what's up? This is Dane Cook. Good luck, Chuck. And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You know it.
I'll never be you. Never be you. Wow. You. I'll never be you.
Looks like you both owe me a buck, or you have to donate the dollar to charity.
Oh, okay.
Because Blue Harvest was not the name of Empire Strikes Back, nor was it the name of Star Wars A New Hope.
Okay, what was it?
It was Return of the Jedi.
Then I win.
No,
because
you don't.
Because I did not say, I did not say it was the name of Empire Strikes Back. My bet was it was not New Hope.
Your dollar goes to charity?
No, that was my here. No, sir. That was my bet was, the bet was, I bet you a dollar it was not New Hope, and Matt's bet was, I bet you a dollar it was New Hope. Roll back the tape. Wait, hold on. We have the clip. Hold on. We're going to play the...
Put some money on it, and I'll look it up.
All right.
All right.
I bet you a buck it wasn't New Hope.
Okay, I bet you a buck it was New Hope.
Okay. And there it is, right there. I win the bet. Fuck you, and fuck you. I win the bet.
Now we got to mark this as explicit.
Oh, yeah, because we never cursed before now.
Nah, I think I dropped the F earlier.
I'm going to start giving you a penny a week.
Ooh.
For the next
100 weeks.
That's it. 2 years. So you'll get a dollar.
Why don't you just take that off my tab?
All right, I'll take it off your tab.
Okay, thanks. That's good. Now, I brought it under a grand now.
Yes.
Sweet. Let's right. talk about... let's talk about what I want to talk about here is the I don't want to say resurgence because that's not right, but the kind of growing fascination with animated styled things.
All right.
Where there was no animation before.
Correct.
Okay, and the two things that are really glaring out, we have examples of here. Gentle Giant, maybe a year and a half ago or so, showed animated pieces from Lord of the Rings to us at Toy Fair. So that was probably about a year ago, right?
Was this pre-Clone Wars cartoon?
No, I think it came after.
I think the Clone Wars cartoon kind of re-sparked this. Is that correct?
Well, no, because there was a lot of interesting animation stuff that went on before that. I think the kind of broad base appeal might have been helped by the Clone Wars cartoon. Okay. But let's say then at last year's Toy Fair, maybe the year before, but I think it was last year only, Gentle Giant showed animated Lord of the Rings pieces at Toy Fair. And everybody went berserk, like, is this a new cartoon series? Is something coming? What's going on? Are they going to animate The Hobbit? And blah, 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 and all this stuff. And it was basically, the answer was no. The answer is Gentle Giant, in their infinite wisdom, decided that another way to approach these characters again would be to do them in a new style. And of course, with the popularity of the animated style things,
right,
Clone Wars included, that they would do a line of animated style Lord of the Rings, which also turned into an animated style selection of Star Wars pieces, right, which they are also doing. These pieces are very popular. They're very stylized. And the one we're looking at is probably, I got to say, maybe the coup de grace in the Lord of the Rings line. It's the animaquette of the Ringwraith.
And that's Gentle Giant, that
This
piece.
Is Gentle Giant, right. Okay. And it's basically a mounted Ringwraith done in the animated style.
Sure.
As we know, I'm a big fan of the Ringwraiths.
Right.
And so this was the piece that I chose to get out of the collection. And it's fantastic. He's up on the horse. He's very, no pun intended, animated. And I think it's great. I think the style lends itself very well to our genre, really.
Sure.
You can almost take anything and put it in an animated style and make it attractive. Right?
Sure.
And that said,
I have here the animated Pirates of the Caribbean Swashbucklers line.
Right. Okay. Now, this comes from Zizzle.
It does.
Z-I-Z-Z.
Which you'll find amazing when you see the figures.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we should say that until now, we've been skeptical of the Zizzle product.
Skeptical? I hated them.
Okay. So basically, Zizzle is the company who has the mass license for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
So the stuff you're seeing in Target, Walmart, the mass chains, kind of not so great articulation, kind of sculpts, coloring is kind of minimum. There's not much in the way of detail, paint-wise and so on. Kind of very mainstream, mass market, let's get something out there kind of thing.
Right.
Which appeals to some people. It's definitely not a collector's line, in my opinion, at all, in any way. That stuff was left to NECA.
Yes.
Puts out the collectible versions. But now, Sizzle is putting out a product. I think that's not only is it a great-looking product, but I think that is extraordinarily collectible.
It is. A little different than the Lord of the Rings line, in that it could be loosely based on something that exists. Disney actually does have a series of little comics and little comic books that are animated in a style that is close to this.
Right.
But going back to Gentle Giant did do that animated Jack Sparrow figure last year.
Right, right.
But again, it's that mass appeal of this animated style that really seems to be catching on. And these really are fantastic. Maybe with the exception of Elizabeth Swan, but
I bought the Elizabeth Swan.
I know you did, but it's like that red carded Leia,
monkey Leia.
This is like monkey Swan.
Okay,
but there are five figures in this line. I should at least point out what they are. It's Captain Barbossa, Captain Jack Sparrow, Captain Davy Jones, and Will Turner, and then Elizabeth Swan.
And I went to Zizzle
right
to find out where to find out exactly what the story was behind the line, Zizzle.com had no information whatsoever about that line.
Okay.
So I don't know what the story is with their website. They had no information.
You got to try DisneyPirates.com.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try Disney Pirates.
But I actually really want all five of these. So I think I have a Target gift card that I got for Christmas, and this may be what I use it on.
What's the origin of this? I mean, you mentioned Clone Wars.
Well,
I mean, we got to talk about, let's not jump ahead. There's a lot more very popular animated style products that I think we should talk about. We need to talk also about Mattel has two very popular animated lines right now.
Right.
The Batman.
Right.
Which is the figures based on the Batman, the new Batman cartoon.
Well, this is
there.
Where these deviate a little bit, but still in the same vein.
Right. And of course, They're okay, but this the Justice League Unlimited series right. that they have out now, which was based on a cartoon that's been off the air for
sure.
2 years,
and they've
now?
Just continued it.
And they're just continuing to recreate more of the DC characters in this animated style because everybody loves this kind of simplified animated style.
Sure.
And I'm wondering what you think the appeal of that is.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that come into play here. I think on a mass appeal marketing level, I think that the Star Wars Clone Wars cartoon had a lot to do with it.
Right.
But I also think that that anime has a lot to do with this as well. Look, I know that you say that, but I think that there's this kind of cross-breed style of cartooning, both like comic book form and animation style, that is kind of like that. It's the simple lines, not a lot of movement, big-eyed kind of simplicity right. of anime that works its way into these other American iconic products. So I think that anime has an influence on it. I think Star Wars Clone Wars brought it really to the forefront because it was a very popular show. And I really give a lot of credit to Gentle Giant also.
Right. It's a big risk to take on something that has no back. There's no Lord of the Rings animated
right.
thing. So it's a big risk to take. Fantastic something?
In my mind, if you take anime mm-hmm. and you combine it with the original Batman the Animated Series, you have this new, very popular style that you see here. I think that this is the product of both of those being wildly successful and being high quality. I think the Batman style is one to emulate.
Right. I think Fantastic makes a good point. Well, that's the style that Mattel is emulating
right.
for their JLU line. Certainly, it's a direct pull because I think that what they're doing is they're trying to grow that. That collection for collect. I mean, that's
sure.
a collector's line.
Sure.
I consider a collector's line. It's got to be at this point. It's almost 2 years dead. The cartoon is almost 2 years gone, I think, at this
point.
And
the figures are still coming out.
And the figures are still coming out. I think, actually, we might have seen a break now.
Right.
From what I hear, there might be a break, and then there might be kind of a restarting of that again. And this might, again, have something to do with DC's new relationship with Mattel or the new deal with Mattel that allowed... the 6-inch DC
expansion of the character base.
Right. The new 6-inch DC. We haven't talked about these yet, but the new DC 6-inch, they're just starting to hit now.
Right.
Like the DC Legends. They're not called that. I don't remember what they're called. But I think part of that deal might have something to do with why there is a kind of a hiatus right now for the animated figures. But they're still out there.
Oh, sure.
And they were, you know, and they've been coming out and they've been I mean, they did Blue Devil.
I mean,
that's like... That's like, wow, Blue
that's
Devil.
Crazy,
I mean, that's like really, you know, that they're really trying to explore characters in this animated style.
Right.
And we're all seeing it more and more. And when companies like Gentle Giant are making high-end pieces, this is a high-end piece of animated statuary here, including big names like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. And you said they did the Captain Jack also.
Well, again, I think I want to give credit to all of these things because I think they all have a part to play
right.
in this huge trend. But I think if we take a second to just focus on Gentle Giant,
right.
and that's why I keep on going back to Clone Wars, because I think with Gentle Giant, you know, they put out those early statues that were based on the Clone Wars series, and then they kind of said, well, you know, we're already doing Star Wars characters. What if we took other Star Wars characters that weren't in the Clone Wars series and took this style and applied it to them?
Right.
And then they were like, all right, well, let's do it with Lord of the Rings and see what happens. All
right,
let's
right.
do it with Pirates of the Caribbean. So now you're talking about some of the three biggest film franchises
of all time.
Recent history.
Sure.
You know? And then they did some stuff for Hellboy Animated, I think, right? Didn't they? For that Hellboy Fist of Doom or whatever it was,
There were two DVD releases. There's also been some subsequent stuff
and stuff like that.
There's been some subsequent stuff from Dark Horse also.
So I really think that Gentle Giant is making a name for itself in this animated style, and now other companies are almost starting to emulate them.
Right.
And that's great for them. I mean, look. I mean, it puts them at the forefront of a huge.
And you know, let's give a tip out to Hasbro, even though they're kind of the low man on the pole here. They were the first to produce, well, not the first, but they produced the Star Wars Clone Wars animated figures in the animation style.
Uh-huh.
And then took some of those characters that were created for that show, or some of the, not created for that show, but let's say the way that some of the characters looked in that show, like Anakin with his shirt off and Kit Fisto with his shirt off. And then they translated those figures into regular,
right,
stylized. Right, it was kind of a reversal. One affected the other and so forth. But I think it should be noted that those figures sold extraordinarily well for them in the animated style. I guess for Star Wars collectors, it was a break. It was something different. And to have it be totally, at first, be based exactly on those the animated style was great. But then to be able to take those characters back into their regular collection with the regular styling, I think was a great move also.
So what I'm waiting for next now is is the Harry Potter animated style.
But who would do it?
Gentle Giant. Why, they have the Harry Potter bust license already. It would seem a natural progression for them. They've done it with every other license they have. And that's not a bad thing, but wouldn't you at least be slightly interested to know what they would do or how they would look? I think I'd be kind of interested to know how they would look very least.
You know, Toy Fair is a month away.
Well,
we might see some of that.
You never know.
Just saying. Nobody is saying anything to me, by the way.
Right, I know. It's like all hush hush this year.
I know. I don't know why that is.
It's usually, exciting this year. Maybe
we get a little couple of
nuggets.
We might have some feature stuff the week before Toy Fair.
Ooh, the lolly! Look at
we
us.
We might be breaking some stuff.
You mean almost? You know, after doing this for almost 2 years, maybe we mean something.
Hey, that's not true. We had Catwoman.
That's right. We did get Catwoman.
We had Catwoman San Diego Comic-Con exclusive like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was. 2 years ago.
Couldn't have been three. Two.
Two.
Anyway.
That said, the animated style, I think it's here to stay. And I'm enjoying what's going on with it. I mean, it hasn't taken over yet, which is good. It hasn't replaced anything else. In other words, there's still plenty of good ring wraiths and other products and Han Solo and things like that. Plenty of regular stylized stuff. This isn't taking away from anything. Plus, it's really giving a bunch of different avenues to be available for collectors. I note the JLU line from Mattel again as being a good example of that. And I hope to see that continue. Right now, it's kind of in hiatus, but they say it's coming back. So we might find out more about that at Toy Fair. And we'll let you know what other products happen to come to us animated.
Sure.
I just think it was very interesting that this is kind of all happening right now.
I agree.
Let's take a break and we'll come back with
Well, there's a shock.
What?
Nothing.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, NERDZ.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at NERDZRule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Revenge of the Nerds. hey, hey. This is Haywood Nelson, Dwayne from What's Happening.
And this is Danielle Spencer, D from What's Happening.
Hey, and this is Ernest Thomas, better known as Raj from What's Happening. And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Are you going to be able to get through this segment?
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay.
What?
Nothing. Why don't you get into it? I'm going to let you lead the charge on this one.
I went to Tonner this week.
Okay. We love Tonner.
I saw Shauna.
Of course.
She's lovely.
I know. All week. Shauna this and Shauna that.
Look.
All week long.
Look, you know, usually.
I love her. She's a lovely, lovely woman.
I'm just saying, usually we. I'm gonna pull back the curtain here. You know, usually when I say stuff about Shauna Perry, it gets edited out of this program.
We never edit this program.
Yeah, you and Fantastic can live in that fantasy.
Ever.
The one time we talked about Tonner live on XM, we had the meeting beforehand. What was said during the meeting?
No Shauna.
Don't talk about Shauna.
Was it because we don't love Shauna? It's just because we didn't want it to take over the entire segment on XM.
Shauna's wearing nice slacks, okay. And she had a nice dress shirt and a vest.
All right.
And she looked very nice. And
sure.
She was very happy to see me.
I'm sure.
I think.
Can we talk about the product, though?
All right, fine. Well, let's. I'm going to talk about the product in relation to my trip to Tonner.
Okay, all right.
Hello. So we went up there.
You.
I went up there and up to there. And it's a very unimposing little. Little building. Used to be something else, like a dye and cut factory or something.
Oh,
little right. Tiny little place, right? Very unimposing. And you go in and it's like, wah. It's like Tonner everywhere.
Tonner heaven?
Yeah, like real seriously. And I met a few people that I haven't met before. I saw some people that I know and it was really great. Saw our pal Tom Courtney.
Aw,
saw Tom's desk. Or I should say, I didn't see Tom's desk because in Tom's little cubicle office area, dude.
Just dolls everywhere.
Everywhere. And it's not, and he's got quite a collection. I mean, it's really, he had a lot of stuff. But everybody has like a bunch of their, you know, like anyone's office, you have a bunch of things. I guess it helps if you work at the Tonner Doll Company and you Tonner Dolls, you have all that stuff all over. Shauna had a lot of stuff in her area.
I'm sure she did.
She did. And then she was sending an email and I was like, who are you emailing? And she was just like, oh, la, la, la. And she was just making nice conversation with me. And, you know, she wanted to make sure I saw everything and that I had a good time.
Product tour.
Fine. So then, our buddy up there, took us around.
Right.
And, not Tom, our other buddy, up there took us around and, took me through the warehouse.
Okay.
Like, and you're probably seeing a picture of it right now if you're watching or looking on your iPod or watching in QuickTime or something where you can see the
right.
images. And you can see stacks and stacks and stacks of all these Tonner products. And then they have, it's really fascinating. It's all organized by two dudes.
That's cool.
They only got two dudes working in their warehouse.
Good. Probably keeps it organized.
It does. And it's like organized as all hell, too. And it stacks and it's nice.
You know what our archives look like?
Yeah.
We got like, what, 10 of them down there?
Yeah.
And we only need two.
Maybe. I don't know if they could. I don't know. They'd have to be exceptional. These two guys up there were very exceptional dudes.
Okay.
Though. So that was there. I saw. I should have thought of this while I was up there because now I'm going to have to call. Oh, darn. I'm going to have to call Shauna tomorrow.
Oh. However, will you make that call? Okay. Come on.
Well, sorry, just It's lost in thought. So I'm gonna call Shauna tomorrow, because while I was up there in the warehouse, what I saw was a bunch of like test shot,
right,
like Aquaman figures. Like, nice. I guess, you know, that some didn't make the grade or whatever. Right. They're just kind of like in a little bin. And then over there was kind of some costumes.
Maybe like one arm was a little bit longer than the other needs to be.
Whatever the thing was. I should have got one to customize.
I know.
I should have begged for one to customize.
That's what I'm saying. Should have just...
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
And see if they'll let me customize it. And I'll get it done right. And they can display that shit.
All right.
I'm just saying, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
All right, so continuing the tour. So then I went around to their fabric area, and they got all bolts of fabric and all things, because Tonner, as we always said, with the high quality pieces, full cloth costumes, full accessories are, you know, leather accessories are leather pleather, you know, like the thing, and they have all this fabric. You can probably see if you're looking at the picture right now, there's all sorts of fabric stuff. And stuff. Yeah, it's great. And then got taken around to the other side, to the design part of Tonner, where Robert Tonner himself,
right,
showed me around. He showed me, you know, the workstations where, you know, there was a nice lady there who was working on costumes. I met the hair designer.
Awesome.
This woman was like a professional hairstylist who now does the hairstyles on the dolls.
Cool.
Yeah. So she works it out on like the, you know, the regular one, and then they send it off to the factory, and they, you know, the factory does the best kind of work, you know, kind of copying that it can do. But, you know, we always talk about how the hair is meticulously styled in some of these, in most of these. And, that's really her job, and really, really great. She's a really nice person. And what a really great job, because you can see that she was doing all these little things and you know, working little things. And then Robert took me into his sculpture studio.
Nice.
Yeah, where he's working on pieces, and he's sculpting the whole body, dude.
Yeah, man.
Sculpting the whole thing from the bottom up. He showed me this new 3D designer sculpting thing that he's working at, where it has like this little stylus that's on an arm. Fantastic. You might know something about this. And then like... you saw a little baby head, like a little doll head on a thing, right? And then you're using this little stylus, and you can feel the resistance in the stylus. It's like a little mechanical arm. It's the most amazing thing. And like, so if you're like, you know, like you're like you see on the screen, and you point your little tool at it, and you kind of push it in, you feel that resistance in the stylus.
Huh.
It was amazing. And I said, have you produced anything from this yet? And he said, no, but, you know, we're working on it. We're learning it and everything. It's always the forefront, you know, of all these things. Robert Tonner is investigating all of them.
Sure.
And then throughout, there's cases of different character figures.
Right.
And some of his other fashion dolls as well. And I got to see some of the stuff that they're working on. I got to see some stuff that I can't tell you about.
Aw.
In fact, let me tell you about this one thing.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah.
So they're working on
that.
Wow,
that's pretty impressive.
I know, right? And not only that, but other things too.
It's an interesting
too.
License line too.
Good for
them.
That's what I thought. So I saw a couple of things. I saw a Fess Parker Davy Crockett.
Nice.
I saw Snape.
Very cool.
From Harry Potter. I saw Orlando Bloom.
Will Turner
from Pirate Sign. I also saw some Elizabeth Swann.
Very nice, very nice.
Stuff as well. So there was so much to see. And the process, we have seen, you and I have together gone to different companies and
sure.
seen the process and different things. And I got to tell you, it seemed so much more fascinating because of the detail and because of the care that they put into the costumes and the fabrics
medium.
And things. It seems like such a more... meticulous process, yet it seems to me that they have a more you know, what would you call it? Like condensed or sort of like a putting a fine point on it. You know what I mean? It's like focused. This is the person or the two people that are doing this thing, and they do that for all of these things. It was fantastic, fascinating tour. I hope you can come up there sometime.
I'd love to. I'd love to be able to go up.
I know that Shauna would like to have me back. Okay. So maybe I don't know, maybe I could bring you unless she, you know.
No.
Unless she wants it just to be me and her thing.
I think you're what? You're maybe assuming.
Not assuming. Much, maybe. I'm just saying maybe.
Okay.
Just saying, you know, there's definitely like a.
Okay. Well, why don't we
talk about some of these?
Why don't we talk about like the actual product we have in studio?
Okay, let's talk about
the product. We'd be remiss if we didn't do that.
The latest products from Tonner, of course. Always are fascinating to us.
Of course.
And these are no exceptions. Poison Ivy.
Lovely.
From their DC line. As we said, it's got the cloth styling. Did you see these boots?
I did.
They have heels, wooden heel base things. They're kind of...
With the ivy on them?
Yeah, the little strappy leather. She's got little ivy and other little bushy...
Accoutrement.
Long red flowing curly hair.
Naturally.
Which makes her a keeper.
Right.
And so that's her.
So she is part of the DC Stars line.
DC Stars line. Right.
I have here the first in the Pirates of the Caribbean line.
Oh.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow. That is an exceptional, exceptional figure.
You know what? The more and more I look at it, the more and more I really appreciate this figure. I mean, he comes with the, he comes with his tricorn and his boots, naturally, his the scarf. I love the beading in the hair, by the way, which is fantastic. You know, he comes with his sculpted sword.
Right. It should
His pistol.
Right. It should say that. We should say that all Tonner, the figures, they have the real hair. So in the case of Captain Jack Sparrow, his hair has been braided and the beard is also braided. Isn't that right?
The beard is braided. So that would be.
Braided and beaded also.
That would be the third one, I think it was. Was it braided in all three or just the third one?
I don't remember.
But.
I think it was all of them.
But right? His sash. I mean, it's really a nice replica. They did a really good job. Replicating the costume. A fantastic job. So yeah. Just trying to figure out what this one accessory is down here that I'm not
Which
sure
one?
Of. I don't know.
Boots?
No, it's not the boots.
Pouch?
Oh, maybe that's a pouch?
Some sort of
it might be some sort of pouch. I got a pouch. but it's nice. It's a really nice figure. Tonner, again, he does a great job. The beading in the hair is really, really cool. I really like that.
And he comes with the tricorn hat you mentioned also?
It does come with the tricorn hat. Yes, sir.
That's a fantastic piece.
Fabu, even.
You know, when the movie The Last Mimsy
came
out.
I still have not seen that.
I can't believe you haven't seen it.
But I just got it at my house today. It showed up via Blockbuster.
Oh, that's good. So you can check it out, and then you will appreciate and want to have for yourself the rabbit from The Last Mimsy.
Yes.
And here it is.
Aww.
Now, this is what they've done is they've done two versions. They've done a collector's version.
Right.
Which has long since sold out. I think they sold well when the movie came out. But when the DVD came out, everybody wanted one. And who could blame them?
Of course.
Now they have this sort of more mass version.
Okay.
It's jointed.
Okay.
All right. It's got like
joint. So it's actual points of articulation. Oh, yeah. It's not just floppy.
Right. 4 points of articulation.
Okay.
It's got a great joint in there, too. It's not like a lazy joint. It's like a real joint. It's got beads in the legs and in the arms. Gives it a nice floppy weight, which it was much like the film. And I think these are available now. This is kind of the second version, and they're available right now. Last Mimsy. I'm really happy that somebody did these. You know what this reminds me of? I was saying from AI, Teddy from AI. Somebody put out a Teddy from AI that I
really
get. Yeah, two different ones, actually. But the Last Mimsy from Tonner is a great piece, kind of in that sci-fi plush genre.
Right.
Which is very, very sleek and slim genre because there's not a lot out there.
We like the sci-fi genre.
I'm talking about actual, not like, a plush stormtrooper, right. Which I have.
Right.
I'm talking about like actual, that sort of thing. Who you have a scary fucking thing over there because when I opened the box, it scared the crap out of me.
Kind of like he's looking at you, isn't it?
This
is Lord Voldemort. So this would be the first adult in the Harry Potter line.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And that's an all-new adult body, I think,
that
too.
Is. I believe he told us that they were doing a new sculpt. Mm-hmm. Comes with the robes that we've come familiar with. Now, it's Voldemort's robes, which, if you remember from the movie, was almost kind of like a bathrobe / smoking jacket.
Sort of thing.
So it comes with that. It comes with his wand, which, again, if you remember from the books, is very unique and kind of, it's that stark white wand.
Creepy bone-looking wand.
And no shoes, which is good because he's always barefoot.
Right.
And the head sculpt is outstanding. I cannot believe how good a job the likeness is. That's possibly the best Voldemort head sculpt I've seen. So creepy as hell, but love it to death. Lord Voldemort from the Harry Potter line.
And I'm going to round out. This was a surprise to me. I didn't know that this was done. I didn't know.
Sure you didn't.
I didn't know. I thought we had longer to wait for this, sir.
You know, outside of Shauna Perry. That's the real
look,
reason.
Look, you say another word about Shauna Perry.
I love Shauna.
That I think is negative, and I think you and I are going
to go. I got no guff with Shauna.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Another word.
Okay.
And I'm getting a little...
All right.
A little defensive.
We're gonna rumble?
You keep saying bad stuff.
I haven't said a single bad thing yet.
All right. Just saying.
Maybe you're nutty.
It's the Joker, sir.
I know. And he's gorgeous.
DC and Stars beautiful. Collection, Joker figure, character figure. Wow.
Wow.
It's kind of the circa the Silver Age mm-hmm. style. Comes with the long green Joker cane, the spats, the purple striped suit, orange vest, green shirt, and his bow tie. The sculpt on this,
he did a tremendous job.
Is really just fantastic.
We
he
knew how
really captured this character.
Well, we knew how hard he was. He was Robert was
yes.
battling over which design to go with, which era to go with, what feel to go with. And I think that he absolutely 100% picked the right thing to go with for that figure. I don't think it could have come out better.
I mean, the pants have a zipper.
I know.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
It is. It's a beautiful piece.
I have to tell you, in case there's a single person who doesn't know this out there, I am a rabid Joker collector. And as a rabid Joker collector, I have to say, this has got to be the best Joker piece I have ever seen.
That's impressive, because I've seen your Joker collection.
I have.
There are some nice pieces.
I've got everything.
Collection.
I've got everything. And I have to tell you, from a stylized standpoint, the Silver Age Joker, there hasn't been a Joker, I think. I'm looking now at the Joker section that's in Studio A, and... is there anything up there that is a better representation of its original form that's better than this piece?
Not that I could see from where I'm sitting.
I like the Alex Ross Justice Joker is really good.
Of course.
The Joker from Dark Knight Returns is a really good translation from 2D to 3D.
Right.
The Joker statue by William Paquette, the one where he's holding up the skull, uh-huh. It's a really great translation of the character. I still think this one captures this Joker, the Silver Age Joker, Golden Silver Age Joker. I think this one captures him better.
I'm not arguing with you, sir. I agree 100%.
Let's just take a minute and talk about these pieces, these character figures,
okay.
If you will. You know, I had a long discussion with Robert up there, and I don't want to get into a long discussion here about it, obviously,
okay.
But I want to say that, you know, there's a lot, we get some guff for
sure.
Talking about the Tonner character pieces.
We do.
Because people are saying they're dolls, and
right.
That's all they are. Well, really? Because, I mean, is that really, at this point, is that really something that is it something that should be a negative word?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, because I think at this point, you know, you're talking about a high-end collectible.
Well, that's the problem. I think you need to not classify it as a doll, and you need to classify it as a high-end collectible.
Whatever you classify it as, it's still a great piece. So if you're a Joker fan, if you're like, well, I'm not going to get that one because it's a doll.
Well, that would just be silly.
That would just be retarded.
Well, yeah.
Like, silly, retarded. So what I'm saying in the conversation I had is the stigma attached to the word doll. I think that has to go away now.
Right.
I mean, between the 12-inch... the 12-inch pieces, like the ones coming from DC Direct and some of the other companies, we got to get rid of this stigma.
Sure.
I'll call it a character. You know, it's one of the running jokes that we have about Towner here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff is that, well, they're character figures. You know, we don't want to use the D word because the D word's a bad word. So, yeah, exactly. So we call them character figures. We call them dolls, whatever you want to call them. They're still quality high-end pieces,
sure,
perfectly slated for your collection.
Okay.
And I don't know, I'm kind of upset that there are some people, I'm not saying everybody, I think this is changing, that are so narrow-minded that if we talk about a character figure that has a real cloth costume, you know, were the Migos dolls?
No.
Were the Migos? I mean, they were. But were they action figures? Were they character figures? Whatever their classification is, Tonner, other companies, Tonner specifically, because we're talking about Tonner, they are producing probably one of the best high-end products that you can get.
Right.
And call it whatever you want, it's still a great product. If you call yourself a Harry Potter fan, you got to pick up that Voldemort.
Oh,
you got to
pick
up Harry, Hermione, Draco, all of them.
Dobby.
All of them.
Sure.
The cat.
Crookshanks.
Crookshanks. You got to pick it up. You're a DC fan. How are you not getting... You're a Batman fan. How are you not getting this Joker? Poison Ivy. Batman himself, who's coming soon.
Yep.
Batgirl, who came out recently.
I concur 100%.
I think it's a stigma that is past its time. So you know what? You can call them whatever you like. You can call them dolls. I have some dolls. Guess what? I have a doll collection. There.
Well, there you go.
Now, you want to give me some crap about it? I have a doll collection that consists of Tonner's high-end collectible, beautifully represented, fantastically produced, intricate, detailed, wonderful dolls.
Yes.
And I don't have any problem with that.
No. I don't have any problem with it.
I have character figures. I have dolls. I have whatever you want to call them. I have probably the best Silver Age Joker representation I have ever seen.
Well, there you go.
I've got
so
that.
You're happy.
And it came from Tonner. And it's a
counts.
Character figure or a doll or whatever you want to call it.
Tonnerdoll.com.
Is that their website?
That's the website.
Yeah, so Tonnerdoll.com. And I want to thank Robert Tonner for taking time out of his schedule to have me up there and everybody else up there as well. All of our friends up there.
Sure.
Especially Shauna.
Yes.
She's wonderful.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With potshots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow with
your
little...
Why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than
why
when
you,
it's updated and when the
you
website
have an opinion.
Is. It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com.
Hello, this is Neil Gaiman, writer of lots of different things, really, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
So So we are back with the wrap-up portion, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 88.
I have a crush on Shauna Perry.
He got a crush on Shauna Perry. So what did we talk about tonight? Tonight we talked about Apple taking movies and renting them online now. Download them. It's a fancy technology. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't. Check it out.
I talked about Dr. Grordbort's Contraptionic Dingus Directory. It's a hardcover little fantasy Victorian science fiction kind of catalog thing from Dark Horse. You can check it out at darkhorse.com. Retails for $12.95. Also written and illustrated by Greg Broadmoor, and it's a Weta original. Weta design people.
The Smurfs turned 50 this year, and Liev Schreiber may or may not be Kree.
And he does not appear, Liev Schreiber, in the DC Comics Action Figure Archive by Scott Beatty. Over 1,400 action figures, 600 full-color photographs, a beautiful, great reference book for DC characters.
Deathly Hallows looks like it will be split into two movies. And Boba Fett, going to be in the live-action Star Wars television show.
Star Wars also giving us the Mighty Mugs, a vinyl interpretation of some Star Wars characters, which includes some interesting catch lines and packaging. Check it out from Hasbro, I think.
We talked about some DVD releases tonight. Most notably, we'll go through the whole list.
Yeah, it was The 10.
Right.
Good Luck Chuck.
Right.
Be My Valentine, Shauna Perry. Charlie Brown.
Right.
And Family Guy's Blue Harvest, which, right, as we learned in the OG losing bet, was the shooting name for not
New Hope, Empire,
but Return of the Jedi. Thank you, Fantastic, for making that happen for me.
And DVDs missing from Big Kev's list this week, Dragonlance.
Yeah, not missing at all.
Completely missing. In the second segment of tonight's show, We talked about the impact of the animated style on the collectibles market.
Right. Companies like
Gentle Giant
and Zizzle are two that we talked about. Gentle Giant doing animated style maquettes for Lord of the Rings characters, Star Wars. They did Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
And now, action figure-wise, Zizzle's coming to the table for the first time with a product that
I actually want.
Yeah, and animated Pirates of the Caribbean. Also notable, the Batman from Mattel,
yes,
JLU, which continues, mm-hmm, even without a cartoon to be based on because of its popularity. We feel this is probably in some way related to Fantastic said Batman the Animated Series. OG said Star Wars Clone Wars, and both of them kind of agreed that anime, Japanese animation, had influence on that as well. And I would tend to agree with both of those things. I think it's a style that's not going away anytime soon.
No.
But I'm wondering if it's going to work in the reverse. Are we going to see some more things that maybe start out as an animated something that turn into something animated, like a Pirates cartoon, or, well, I doubt Lord of the Rings, but maybe Pirates.
I'd love to see Pirates. That'd be fantastic.
And more animated stuff coming from Star Wars, except it's not going to be in that style, which I think
it's
going to hurt.
3D.
Yeah, I think it's a bad move.
And in the third segment of tonight's show, we talked about Big Kev's crush on Shauna Perry.
No, we talked about Tonner.
And your crush on Shauna Perry.
All right. You know, I think Shauna is a nice person. You?
Yes.
Who happens to be gorgeous and sexy and funny. And
but in all
nice
seriousness.
What?
Nothing. I was a joke, sir.
She is.
We love Tonner.
Things.
We talked about
we
some
do.
Great products.
And I want to thank again Tonner, Robert Tonner, and everybody else up there at Tonner for having me up for a tour of the facility.
I'd love to come up at some point.
Yeah, I know, but you ain't got the connections.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. So
I'm like the redheaded stepchild of the show.
That's not true. Fantastic's the redheaded stepchild of the show.
No, he's the well-sculpted stepchild of the show.
Is that what he is?
Yeah.
He's the sexy stepchild.
That's right.
Tonner, great company. A really unimposing outside of the building turns into a wonderful creative place on the inside. And you are simply fascinated when you walk around about the process that goes into making these character figures, dolls, or whatever you want to call them. high-end collectibles is what I call them. Fantastic is what I call them and him. And a couple of recent releases from Tonner include from the DC Stars line, Poison Ivy.
Yes.
I talked about her. I talked about the last Mimsy Rabbit, which is now available in a new edition,
right?
From the original collector's edition, and I also talked about the DC Stars absolutely incredible Silver Age Joker. Yes,
I talked a little bit about the Pirates of the Caribbean Jack Sparrow piece and the Harry Potter Lord Voldemort piece,
which is scary as all hell. Still,
really,
shut that box, because it's creeping me out.
Yeah, but I.
Just saying.
It's keeping me motivated.
Oh, I hope so. Keeping you motivated. You can check him out at tonnerdoll.com.
That's correct.
I got to say this one more time. The stigma for this whole it's a doll thing has got to go away. These are high-end collectibles. They're probably some of the best rendered stuff out there. Find someone who's selling these and go buy them. Don't call yourself a fan, a super fan, a super collector of anything that Tonner makes, and you don't have the Tonner pieces. It's just not working anymore.
It's just not right if you deprive yourself of these pieces.
You know, I pushed them on.
I'm not saying it. Serenity.
No,
I said
Serenity.
It last week. You and Puppet Disaster got me to say it
look,
last week.
I don't
I'm
think.
Not saying
look,
it.
I don't think he can do anything from Serenity.
I know,
but there was that the television
show that Serenity was based on.
Right. What was that?
Yeah, Lightning Bug.
Anyway,
The episode Shindig.
Yes, I got to send him reference. I'm going to get Robert Tonner to produce high-end Serenity pieces.
Yo,
even if he only does one or two.
Yo, even if it's just for me and you. That's all.
I don't know if it'll be like that.
I'm just saying.
And I get to call Sean tomorrow to see if we can get Aquaman to customize.
All right. I think that's going to wrap up this love fest that is Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 88.
I have a crush on Shauna Perry.
Fantastic. Do you have any final words for this week's episode?
The 1984 video game Balloon Fight is similar to the arcade game Joust by Williams Electronics, but for your Nintendo Entertainment System.
And on that note, we cue the music.
There, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can't shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 What you do to me. Delilah, I know times are getting hard, but just believe me, girl, someday I'll pay the bills with this guitar. We'll have it good. We'll have the life we knew we would. My word is good. Hey there, Delilah, I've got so much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you would take your breath away, I'd write it all. Even more in love with me, you'd fall. We'd have it all. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 1,000 miles seems pretty far, but they've got planes and trains and cars. I'd walk to you if I had no other way. Our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along, because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never
Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. Two more years and you'll be done with school, and I'll be making history like I do. You'll know it's all because of you. We can do whatever we want to. Hey there, Delilah, here's to you. This one's for you. What you do to me, what you do.